7:19 on this Monday morning, 51 degrees, mostly cloudy. We do expect it to be in the 50s today with some sunshine this afternoon. Well, in sports, Tom Brady became the winningest quarterback in postseason play, throwing for 3 touchdowns last night, beating Houston 41-28, lifting the New England Patriots into the AFC Championship game. Brady getting his 17th victory, surpassing his childhood hero Joe Montana by throwing for 344 yards. And New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski left the game after the Texans with an apparent injury again to the left arm that kept him out 5 games during the regular season. And Vince Wilfork says he will be missed.
He's a tough player. I mean, he's probably one of the best players at that position. So, but what can you do? You have to move forward, be able to move forward. And we have a lot of guys that can step in and make plays. We've seen it throughout this season. It'll be another case where somebody had to step in and step up and make some plays. And I'm pretty sure the guys will do that.
Running back Danny Woodhead also left the game with a thumb injury. The Ravens game with the Patriots next Sunday night at 6:30. And the Boston Bruins, well-rested and ready for what should be a sprint of a season following the NHL's 119-day lockout. The league's busy 48-game schedule will start Saturday the 19th. The Bees and most other teams opened their shortened training camps yesterday. And tonight in Boston, the Charlotte Bobcats will be playing the Celtics.
Since the tragic Newtown, Connecticut shootings, gun control has been a major topic of discussion. I'm reporter Ann Mostu. I hope you'll join us for a look at the gun permitting process in Massachusetts this morning on WGBH's Morning Edition.
WGBH programs exist because of you and Lahey Health, committed to providing leading-edge care right in your community, helping you become and stay healthy all through your life. You can learn more at LaheyHealth.org. That's LaheyHealth.org. And Brown University's pre-college summer programs, where high school students can prepare for college success, experience college life, and make new friends from around the world. More than 200 courses now open. Brown.edu/summer.
And it's now 7:21. You're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition. Joining me is Professor Morris Cunningham, the political science professor from the University of Massachusetts at Boston. Good morning, Professor Cunningham.
Morning, Bob.
Well, we're talking today about Governor Deval Patrick and what was a very busy week for him last week as he kind of rolled out one government reform measure after another. What do you make of that?
Well, I think many of these are long sought for reforms, but I also recognize that it's in preparation for what is to come this week, and that will be talk of revenues. And I think in Massachusetts now, we have to talk about reform before revenues. The governor did that last week.
That's right. He kicked off what he called Reform Week with his plans to eliminate 300 business and environmental regulations. Let's listen to some of what he had to say.
This work of modernizing our rules will remove unnecessary barriers for starting a small business, make state government more efficient, and better align our practices with widely accepted national models.
Now, we hear a lot about streamlining regulations, but apparently the governor, he's going to be transforming about 300 of these regulations or eliminating them. That's quite a dramatic move.
It does sound dramatic. Keep in mind, though, that with these regulations, as he goes through the number that he wants to go through, each of these regulations almost has some sort of supporter in the community and probably some sort of supporter in the legislature that doesn't want to see that regulation goes away because it's to their benefit, and most of us aren't paying very much attention to that. So it can be very difficult to get rid of regulations.
Okay, the next reform was the unemployment insurance system, the governor proposing legislation to freeze the rates businesses pay to cover benefits to unemployed workers.
First, I'm proposing to freeze the employer unemployment insurance contribution for 2013 for the fourth consecutive year. This will save employers an estimated $500 million this year. In the aggregate, over the last 4 years, through steps like this, we will have saved employers approximately $1.7 billion.
Okay, this doesn't seem like a very controversial measure since it has the support of both House Speaker Robert DeLeo and Senate President Therese Murray.
No, it's not controversial. And it, again, I think, shows us something we sometimes forget about the governor, and that is that he comes out of a business background as well as an activist background. So he's sensitive to these issues.
Now, he also had a bill to stop municipal employees from double-dipping into the unemployment benefit funds of cities and towns, closing loopholes that, there have been some kind of notable scandalous stories about employees retiring then going back to work and double-dipping in a sense. Do you think this will be a significant move to stop that?
Well, I think it is. Again, it's something that I think the legislature will be willing to go along with. I don't. Those stories that showed abuses in the system didn't reflect very well on anybody. I think people would like to see that behind us.
Okay, and then the governor reserved for the last day of the week on Friday perhaps his most controversial proposal, and that would be to reform the state's public housing system.
Many of these housing authorities function well, are deeply connected to local housing needs, and responsive to their tenants. Some are not. A number of recent incidents have exposed a need for more transparency and accountability, better performance, and greater efficiency.
Of course, the most probably notable an example of this was former Chelsea Housing Director Michael McLaughlin, who was making this $360,000 a year salary, which he was underreporting. And was this enough to prompt this statewide reform, do you think?
Well, there have been other instances as well, and I think one of the really shocking aspects of the McLaughlin case and some of the others is the money that has been diverted to some to these folks is money intended to fix the apartment and sustain the living arrangements of some of our most vulnerable citizens. And so I think it's a tough course to go politically, but a necessary course.
Okay, and then, of course, today we expect later on the governor to talk about the funding plan for Massachusetts' multi-billion-dollar transportation funding debt and the needs of the future. Now, last Monday, this report was supposed to have been released by the DOT. The governor said he sent it back to committee, in a sense, saying we need to do more work on this. And specifically, he was saying, I want more of a connection between the importance of the transportation system and economic development. So it sounds like he knows he has a tough sell ahead. What do you think is going to happen?
Yes, and I think he got some support from that yesterday. The Globe had a report on something done by the Boston Foundation and business leaders, not saying what kind of revenue was needed, but saying revenue is definitely needed, up to $26 billion over the next 10 years, and that there is business support for this sort of thing. So there's a rollout going on here, and we'll see later today what the governor says about the revenue aspect of this.
Do you have any hint as to what it might be? We've heard a possibility of an income tax increase that's been thrown into the mix. But there's also this tremendous opposition by residents of other areas of the state to having to pay for the big dig debt, isn't there?
I think there are regional issues here. They often crop up in transportation. And look, the people in the western part of the state have every right to say, what about our economy? What about the infrastructure here? And so I think there's going to have to be some balance here. Legislators from outside the Boston area are going to be watching this very carefully.
And, of course, the other thing the governor seems to have to deal with every day is who is he going to name as the interim senator for John Kerry, when Kerry is nominated and confirmed as Secretary of State. So many names have been bounced around, and the governor says, hey, this is not the main event. What's all the interest in this? Why is there so much interest in this position?
Well, I think there's been a concerted effort on behalf of progressive groups in the state and nationally even to secure that position for Barney Frank, who apparently is eager to have it. And I don't know what the governor will do with it, but he seems to enjoy this sort of thing somewhat and enjoy batting down the rumors. So I'm not clear on what he'll do, but that's what's going on with that one.
And what about the way the field is shaping up for the ultimate Senate race here?
Well, again, you know, Ben Downing, a state senator from Western Mass, announced the other day he wouldn't do it because of money. And I think, again, progressive groups and national groups are pushing for Ed Markey and pushing to keep a small field. I think it's problematic that groups exert such influence here, but it's money that's running it. It's a short campaign, and money is very necessary for that. And so I would hope we'd see other people in the primary, but right now it looks like just Ed Markey.
Well, thanks so much, Professor Morris Cunningham, political science professor at UMass Boston. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Very welcome. Please.
And a lot we'll be waiting to find out today and, of course, later this week. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
You're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition.